Is this the end of the age? Last week we started our line-by-line expository study, our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 24 and 25. The series is titled simply Signs of the End Times. Signs of the End Times. So are we in the end times? Is a question. When will Jesus come back? Will it be tomorrow? How's it all going to go down? I mean, these are questions that people have been having really ever since Jesus ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And we still have those questions. Where will we be in this whole process? What's our role? What's this all going to look like? Well, I bet you if we went around this room right now, everybody would have their own opinion about how it's all going to go down. It seems to be something people are very opinionated about. If you've been a Christian for a while, man, we get really opinionated about certain things. And one of those is our end times theology, right? Our eschatology. We really are like, all of a sudden, we become pretty intense about that. And most of us, though, we've picked up our end times theology and beliefs from other people. From maybe from books that we've read or maybe movies that we've watched. I know that was me. I mean, looking back, I picked up most of my end times perspective from watching the movie version of Left Behind, the Left Behind series. And I'm like, well, that's how it's going to go down because I saw it on the screen with my own eyes. This must be how it's all going to happen. But then I did something. I started reading my Bible. That'll always mess you up, you know what I'm saying, in a good way. It'll mess up maybe some of the ways you've been thinking and some of the things you've been picking up along the way. I started reading my Bible, and as we study the words of Jesus, and I want to just say this very clearly. I don't have a dog in the race, a horse in the race, whatever, however the saying goes. I don't. Okay? Jesus is coming back. That's what I care about. That's my concern. Jesus is coming back. My eschatological views and perspectives, I mean, I don't care to be in a camp, this camp, that camp, wherever it may be. That's not what I'm running for, what I'm looking for, what I'm longing for. I just want to see what does the Lord have to say about this amazing future that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he's going to make all things new, and he's bringing in, ushering in the eternal age with a new heaven and the new earth, and we will walk with him once again as it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Oh, my. That's my care. That's my concern. That's my focus as I look at end times. And so my prayer is that we as a church, as we're going to go through this exercise that the Lord has pulled us into, it surely wasn't me. This study and this look at our current times and end times and Jesus returning, my prayer is that we would just let God say what God wants to say and what God has said and just be okay with it, you know what I'm saying, and love one another through the process. And if through this process you think, man, Pastor Eric, I think he's wrong, that's okay. A lot of people think I'm wrong. My wife thinks I'm wrong about once a year. But anyway, that's how I choose to remember it anyway. So I want to challenge you. Where have you picked up your opinions, your beliefs about the end times? Just as we go through this process, okay? Where have you picked them up? And I want us to also remember that we all see through a glass dimly. There are mysteries. And I love that. Some of you, it drives you crazy that there's the mysterious, the supernatural, the stuff that we don't quite understand fully yet, but will. Okay? So let's be okay with that as well. I pray that we don't get hung up on things that we've, again, picked up along the way, but rather we focus right now as we're being led to Matthew 24, that we focus on what Jesus is saying, and that's my goal right here through this. What is Jesus saying? Very clearly, what's he saying? And that we'd be okay with it. And we also know this. God has a sovereign and a perfect plan. Do we understand that? His plan. And it's always going to be, you know, it's going to be better than anything any of us could ever imagine or even hope for. I mean, think about the cross. Think about how God has redeemed us. Think of the how far God went to do that. Most and many of us would think above and beyond. Yes. So can we just expect that from God also in his end times plans? When he ushers in the eternal age, that it's going to be above and beyond everything, anything we could hope or imagine, and that God's sovereign and he's good and he's just and he's full of mercy and he's full of love. We can trust him is what I'm saying. We can trust God. So what is Jesus saying? Let's keep our focus on what Jesus is saying. And remember that our end time study, said this last week, it should produce in us awe-induced, inspired adoration for Jesus. As we look at the end times, as we look at the return of Jesus, it should produce in us an excitement for the return of Jesus. Our ultimate focus should be on Jesus. I said it last week. Why is it that so many people are fixated on who's the Antichrist? And when's he coming? And what's he going to look like? How about we get fixated on Jesus? And when is he coming? And we get to see him face to face. I mean, come on now. So in the end, as we're going to talk about, and as Jesus talks about signs and different things that are going to precede his return, let's make sure that it always draws us back to Jesus himself. Our hope isn't in when it's all going to happen or how it's all going to go down. Our hope is Jesus. Always has been, and it always will be. Title of today's message, Before Jesus Comes Back. Before Jesus comes back in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, those 11 verses, there are we're going to see and what I'm going to pull out here and just kind of lay out are four general signs that will precede, in other words, come before the return of Jesus in the end of the age. What are they? Have they happened? Are they yet to happen? I just want to read what Jesus is saying and then just have my eyes wide open, and that's our goal right here. So let's dive right into sign number one that we find in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus answered them, and he said, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Now he's speaking to his disciples who had just asked him the question, when are you coming back? How are we going to know when you're returning and when is the end of the age? And Jesus gives them a pretty direct answer here, as we're going to see in the rest of this chapter and even going into the next chapter. And he says, watch out that no one deceives you. About what? About his return, about the end of the age. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of birth pains. So point number one, sign number one, disasters and destruction. Disasters and destruction are going to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, as Jesus has told us, natural disasters, human-made disasters. These things are going to happen before Christ returns, before the end of the age. And these things that Jesus said will happen, let's look around, right? Read a little bit of history and just look around the world today. They've been happening ever since Jesus made that statement. There have been wars and rumors of wars for the last 2,000 plus years since Jesus gave this answer to his disciples. Are they getting more intense? Some think that they're getting more intense. My personal opinion, if you read history, I love history, there's been some pretty intense natural disasters in the course of the last 2,000 years. There's been some pretty intense wars over the past 2,000 years. I think we think it's more intense. I think that we're have a heightened sensitivity to it because we know about every little war, rumor of war, and every little shaking that's going on in the world around us. We know instantly. It's on our social media. It's on the news. It's everywhere. So is it increasing? I don't know. But it's happening and it has been happening. Did you know that there hasn't been a 10-year period in all of human history without a war? There's never been 10 years without a war in all of human history. Jesus says, don't be deceived. This will happen. What? Wars, rumors of wars. They're going to happen. But it doesn't mean that it's the end yet. It's not the end. Because there may be a war over in Ukraine. Doesn't mean that now all of a sudden that's triggering some new thing that's going on. It just doesn't. This has been going on forever. I mean, again, and Jesus even put it this way, just so that we would really understand and not just look at every single war or skirmish going on around the world as the sign that he is coming back like tomorrow. He says, but see to it that you're not alarmed about the wars and rumors of war. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Future tense. But the end is still to come. And then Jesus, making sure that we really understand this, also makes this statement in verse 8. He says, all of these things, the human-made disasters and the natural disasters, all of these things are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning. So disasters are going to happen. But are these disasters and is this destruction, are these death pains? No, Jesus calls them birth pains. And I think that's very important. You know, Jesus used his words purposefully. He didn't just throw things out there. He's very purposeful. He's God, right? Everything that God has said, every word that he has spoken and given us, very purposeful. And he calls these disasters and this destruction, he calls them birth pains. And what are birth pains? They're the things that happen right before something new is about to be born. All the women who've had children can say amen, right? You know about that, right? Those birth pains, those pains that happen right before something new and special and beautiful is born. Birth pains. Do you have this kind of perspective about these birth pains, about the disasters and the destruction that are happening now and that will happen as Christ comes and the end of the age comes? Do you see these types of things that some might call tribulation and this painful stuff going around on us as like death pains or do you see these things that are preceding the return of Christ as something that is actually exciting because it's the beginning, it's ushering in the birth of something new and special and beautiful? How are you looking at the end times? What's your perspective? I'm excited. Just as I was excited about every single one of my four children being born. And it scared me when I was in the delivery room and my wife was going through those birth pains. Believe me, it was scary, but something beautiful was coming. I kept telling myself I knew that was going to happen. And it did. Praise God. Praise God. So we shouldn't be concerned or surprised that these wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters are happening. Again, they're indications that something new and beautiful is about to be born. And in this process, when there is pain and there is suffering and there's death and destruction that does happen, we show sympathy, we show care and concern as people are being affected by this tragedy that comes from what? Sin. The brokenness of sin. Where did death come from? It came from sin. But in the process of showing sympathy and concern as people, as we're going through these hard times, we're also, in our inner man, we're excited. And we're full of great expectation because we know something special is about to be born, is about to happen. So, just looking at the first sign that Jesus gives us here, the first sign that's going to happen before he comes back, before the end of the age, we can say that at least the beginning of the end has happened. We're there. We're at the beginning of the end, the beginning of the last days, if you will. Can we all agree on that? All right, we're there. We're on the same page. We're with you, Jesus. We got you. We hear you. We see it. But wait, there's more, right? Now, before I dive into sign number two, I want us to remember that Jesus, the reason that he told his disciples and gave them the answer to their question about when he's returning and when is the end of the age coming, the reason that he told his disciples these things wasn't just to satisfy their curiosity. He told them these things so that they would be prepared, so that his disciples would be ready and that they would be aware and being the men that he called them to be, doing what he called them to do. And so, as we study this, as you study this, as we're in this together, looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, is your study, is your meditation on the end times, is it simply scratching some curiosity, that itch of curiosity in you about when's Jesus coming back? Or when you look at the words of Jesus and he's talking about when he's coming back and what it's going to look like, beyond scratching the itch of curiosity, is it getting you prepared? Is it causing you to get ready and to be excited for his return? I hope it's the former. Or sorry, the latter. That's it, the latter. That it goes beyond just scratching that itch. That you're getting excited and that it's causing you to be prepared and to be about God's business right now. I believe that's why the Lord wants us to go through this even right now. I believe that for such a time as this, he's having us study these words that Jesus gave to his disciples those many years ago. Not just to scratch an itch, but to get us ready, to get us focused, and I believe also to get us excited. Jesus is coming back. So, sign number two, you ready for it? Distress. Sign number two, there will be distress, also known as persecution, that's going to happen. That's the second sign that we see here Jesus giving us that's going to happen before the end of the age. It says in verse 9, then you, meaning Jesus' followers, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his followers, to his disciples, not just to the world, not to the unbelievers, but to the followers. He says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, all of you are getting really excited. Aren't you excited we're going through this right now? And it's, woo, come on. Good news. That's why I go to church. I go to church just to feel good, right? Then you will be handed over, persecuted, and put to death, and you will be hated by all the nations because of me, Jesus says. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So Jesus is telling us here that before the end of the age, before he returns, that Christians, the church, his followers will be persecuted and hated by every nation. In other words, there will be worldwide persecution and martyrdom of Christians that will occur before his return in the end of the age. So, are we there yet? I would say us being here in this room right now, freely reading the words of Jesus, freely praising God, giving thanks to Him in this nation as one example, I believe that that's a testimony or a testament that this has not yet happened. Worldwide persecution and martyrdom of Christians. Now, there are Christians around the world who are being persecuted and martyred. It's real right now. These words right now that Jesus spoke, these words of handed over to be persecuted and put to death, hated, they're real. For brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters right now, this is real stuff going on right now to real people who really love God and are loved by God. But it's not happening in every nation as Jesus said it would. But it will at some point. Again, this isn't just a scratch, you know, that itch of curiosity. This is so that we'll be ready and prepared, sober-minded, focused on Jesus and His words and His call and His purposes, His kingdom. Amen? So why is Jesus telling us this? Because He doesn't want us to be casualties of war. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. Again, verse 10 says, many will turn away from the faith. Why? Because of the persecution and the hatred and the martyrdom. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. In other words, there will be a lot of Christians who won't be ready for this. This persecution, this stuff that's happening to them, they're going to be caught off guard. Be like, wait a minute, I didn't think this was supposed to happen to me. And because that's going to rock their world and maybe even expose the level of their faith and their intimacy and understanding of God. As things don't go down in the Disneyland version of Christianity. Jesus is saying that the church is going to dwindle down in numbers as many give in to this universal persecution. Again, we're just looking at the words of Jesus here. People are going to leave the church and leave the faith because the pressure is going to be turned up. I mean, we just read it, right? Every nation, Christians are going to be persecuted and martyred in every single nation, hated because we take the name of Jesus. But you know what pressure does? Purifies the church. It purifies the church. It even provides some fuel for the church at that time. And the church we're going to discover here, a church under pressure, is growing in quality and quantity and is preaching the gospel and seeing a whole lot of fruit. We're about to see that. Even this morning in these just 11 verses. A purified, smaller church is going to have even a bigger effect and impact on this world as we approach the end of the age. It's going to be an exciting time for the church. A very fruitful time. So are you prepared for this? Again, I believe that's why the Lord wants us to go through this right now and talk about this. Especially those of us in America, where it's kind of hard to have this perspective on things sometimes because this isn't just our normal everyday reality. There's not a lot of pressure to be a Christian right now, not in this nation. Tonight I'm going to go and be part of the Night of Hope event. I'm going to get up on stage. There's going to be, you know, a lot of people there. There's going to be elected officials. There's going to be people running for elected, you know, office. There's going to be all this stuff going on. There's going to be our law enforcement officers and officials and chiefs of police. They're going to all be there. And I'm going to get up on stage as well as many others are going to get up on stage. And we're going to exalt the name of Jesus. And nothing bad is going to happen to us. Nothing. But there's a day when it will happen. I personally pray it's just not tomorrow because... I mean, no, I'm not stupid. I'm not looking for persecution and suffering. But if it happens, I want to be ready for it. So here's my question. Are you prepared for this kind of stuff? Are you prepared for it? Are you raising your kids to stand strong in the midst of this coming reality that Jesus is saying is going to happen before the end of the age and before his return? Are you raising your children that way? I pray that you are. We don't need another generation walking around, la, 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 everything's just going to be great. Woo, you know, just get on Instagram and this is the perfect life. Everything is beautiful. Everything is awesome. We need a generation who is ready and has their eyes fixed on Jesus and trusts him and follows him and is all in. We don't need any casualties of war. Let's go to sign number three. Sign number three is deception, meaning false saviors and false prophets. Deception. Let's check it out. We're going to go back to verse 4 and then jump to verse 10. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." Then verse 10, "At that time, many will turn away from the faith," this is because of the persecution, "turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." So disasters, destructions, Jesus gave us some heads up on that. That's going to be bad. He called them birth pains, meaning they're going to be painful. It's going to be bad. But the real damage comes as a result of deception. That's what causes people to fall away, to walk away. False saviors, Jesus says, and false prophets are going to come. I look at this and I think about false saviors, and this is just my perspective right now, so Eric's perspective. I personally think the false saviors are going to be a bigger issue for the world, are going to be a bigger issue for those who are lost, who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We already have a Savior. We know him. His name is Jesus. But I do believe, and we have even seen, that false prophets are going to be an issue for the church. And Jesus says those false prophets are going to deceive many. Many of who? The Christians, believers, followers are going to be deceived because of false prophets, because of false teaching, false perspective, and specifically even on Jesus and his return and the end of the age. Because again, that's what he's talking about here in context. False prophets. They preach peace where there's no peace. There won't be peace at the end of the age. There's not even peace right now. Everything's great. Don't worry. Woo. Bad stuff won't happen to you. False prophets preach comfort instead of challenge. When I read the words of Jesus, when I read about his answer about end times, I see challenge. I see a lot of challenge. Physical challenge, relational challenge, spiritual challenge. False prophets preach happiness instead of holiness. I was just talking with somebody recently, and I'm like, why is it that I ask my kids, "Hey, did you have fun?" Or I say, "I hope you had fun," whenever they go do something. I just like want to slap myself upside the head whenever I do that. It's like, you know, in the end, great if they had fun, but it's not about having fun. It's about being who you are in Christ, saying what you know, giving what you have. It's about, you know, it's about loving God and loving others. Hey, did you love God and did you love others? That's what we should ask our kids when they come back from some event or come back from school. Come back from summer camp, whatever it might be. Did you have fun? No. Did you love God? Did you love others? Are you more excited about Jesus today than you were yesterday? Did you have an opportunity to share Jesus, to share the gospel with somebody today? Come on, let's hear about it. I'm so excited. I need to be better at that, even with my kids. False prophets, though, happiness. Get all the happy you can get right now instead of holiness. False prophets preach cheap grace instead of costly grace. False prophets have us focusing on ourselves instead of on sacrifice. You know, it's better to give than to receive. I read that somewhere. I did. False prophets. Now, I'm going to say this, and just hang with me again through this whole study, through Matthew 24, and through what I believe God wants to say. So don't, anyway, don't throw anything at me right now. Don't tackle me in the lobby, and don't leave the church, you know what I'm saying, just because I'm going to say this. I'm just going to, as I study this, as I look at this, I also believe false prophets prepare the church for a rapture instead of preparing her for Christ's return in his reign. I'm just saying. Read the words of Jesus here. What's he preparing the church for? What's he preparing his followers for? He's preparing his followers for his return and for his reign and for what's going to go down in the process of all of that. Sovereignly, perfectly, gloriously going to go down. And we'll talk more about that R word, that rapture word later. And about Jesus coming on the clouds. It's an exciting moment, an exciting time. False prophets tell the church that everything's okay and that the very things that Jesus is saying right here in Scripture is going to happen. They're saying, no, it really won't happen. No, it really won't go down that way. Pain, destruction, hurt, that won't touch you because you're a child of God. You're different. You're special. You're an American Christian. Come on now. Didn't you read about that? False prophets create a distracted church that has no oil, no intimacy, no power, instead of a church with lamps that are full of oil, set apart, and prepared for the bridegroom. So, again, verse 11, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. How do we stand firm? How do we protect ourselves from falling, from all of these types of things? We stay close to Jesus. We stay grounded in truth, in what God is saying. That's the whole thing Jesus is saying. Don't be listening to all the other voices. Here's what's going down. Here's how it is. Stay grounded in truth. And let's remember the ultimate purpose of prophecy is not to decode the news cycle. You know, that's often what we hear a lot of, isn't it? I'm just getting real and told my board, my elders about this. I said, be praying for me because I just kind of am going to just say it. You know what I mean? I'm just going to say it. So pray for me, pray for the church. But, you know, when you look at prophets, most of what we hear out there is prophecy about current events. But is that really primarily what prophecy is supposed to be? Or, as it says in Revelation 19:10, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. So what is the purpose of prophecy? It's to bear testimony to Jesus. It's to point us to Jesus. Not to decode the news cycle and say, this is going on over here, that must mean this, and we're going to create all of this kind of chart that's going to tell us what's going to happen next. And we get all focused on all this minutia, all this stuff that's been going on from the beginning of time, wars and rumors of wars and all that. We get all focused on that, and where's Jesus? He's like, y'all are missing it. The whole point is to keep your focus on me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face. Love this song. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful why you're listening to it. Oh, but it's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting. Yeah, but what is it really? Sign number four. You ready for this? I got to bring this one home. I got a few minutes left. Sign number four, distributed gospel, meaning the gospel will be preached to all. This is another sign that will happen, Jesus says, before he returns and before the end of the age, there will be the gospel preached to all. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Right? That's pretty clear. This will happen, then this will happen. So first of all, I just want to say this. It's great when you read God's word. It makes you contemplate things and really help distill things and start to work on your own perspective and what is God really saying when he's saying things like, what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's going to be preached. So I was processing this week with some folks here in the church, Brent and some others here in the church. You know, what is this gospel of the kingdom that Jesus said is going to be preached, right? Well, simply put, it's the gospel of Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus. It's the good news that this is how I see it biblically, just to be very clear. It's the good news that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus is Lord, and that Jesus is King. The gospel of the kingdom, Jesus, the good news of Jesus. And so we enter the gospel of the kingdom, we grab hold of the good news of the kingdom when we know Jesus as Savior. That's how we enter the kingdom. And again, at that point, it's not a physical kingdom, but it's the kingdom of God in us through Christ Jesus. Then the gospel of Christ's reign in our hearts that brings about righteousness, that thing called sanctification of God making all things new, setting us free. Jesus is Lord, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that Jesus is Lord of our lives, making all things new, reigning in us, in every part of our being. And then the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus is King. He's King right now. In our hearts, he's king of our lives, but there's a day coming, as Jesus is saying, when he steps foot back on this earth and brings his kingdom physically to this earth, where all other leadership, step aside, guys, step aside, gals, the king is here. His kingdom has come on earth. The gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is King. And this gospel of Jesus, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, Jesus said. I mean, that's pretty inclusive, right? I mean, that kind of covers everything. The whole world. He didn't say most of the world, almost all the world. He says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world to all nations. Nations meaning all people groups, all ethne, all people groups, all ethnic people, all types of ethnicities, all nations. So has this happened on a global scale yet? It actually hasn't happened on a global scale yet. It's almost. Are we getting closer to this reality? We're getting closer to this reality. This is what I just read. This is from 2020, and this is from the Joshua Project that's very interested and does studies and processes and watches. Who are we hitting with the gospel and where are we still missing it and what do we have yet to do with the gospel of the kingdom being preached to the entire world, to the whole world? And they say that there are 17,400 distinct people groups on the planet right now. That's the latest estimates. And they suggest that approximately 7,400 people groups are considered unreached. So that could be 7,400 unreached. It could be 400 unreached. But anybody you talk to, there are still many people groups, many ethne, that are yet to be reached with the gospel of the kingdom, with the gospel of Jesus, Savior, Lord, and King. But here's our focus. Did you notice that Jesus is essentially in these 11 verses right here in chapter 24? He's essentially telling us that the end times are going to see the greatest revival in human history. All people, the whole earth, is going to hear the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. The whole earth. The greatest revival, the greatest harvest. The greatest preaching of the good news of Jesus is still yet to come. We should be part of that. We better be. But also the greatest pressure in all human history is about to come as well. At the same time. Both and. Concurrently. This tells me that as darkness gets darker, the light is going to shine even brighter. Again, I read that somewhere too. That's what's going to happen. It's going to get darker, but it's going to get brighter as the church preaches and brings the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. This tells me that the church is very much alive and active in God's end times approach. How will they know? Unless somebody goes and tells them, right? Who's going to go tell them? We are going to tell them. This also tells me the fact that it's going to be the biggest harvest in human history and also some of the biggest tragedy and persecution and difficulties at the same time. It also tells me that we're not on the sidelines waiting. We're in the game, bringing the light, sharing the gospel, being the ambassadors of Jesus. Don't fall for that hunker down nonsense. Don't fall for that, you know, just go hide and make sure that your garments are clean and that you're okay and that you know what? No. Don't fall for that lie. Don't miss out. Don't think that this is about, hey, when do I need to jump ship because I know it's going down type thing. This is not what Jesus is teaching us right here. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be involved. He wants you to be involved. He wants his church to know what's about to go down so that we understand it and that we're involved in this amazing harvest, in bringing the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world, to all nations. He wants you involved. Not just talking about it, not just theorizing, not just hunkering down. He wants us to be ready and bring in the harvest. So, based on what Jesus has told us about the signs that are to come before the end of the age, and again, I'm just looking at what we're looking at right here. We just saw it in Scripture. Based on that, you know, we can definitely say that we're at the beginning of the end of the age. As we've seen that there are wars, rumors of wars, that there are the destruction, natural disasters, and all that stuff is happening. We can also say maybe that we're getting close to the middle of the end of the age, of it being close to the end of the age, because we are seeing there is deception. There's false prophecy. There's deception that's happening. It's going to happen much more on a grander scale as the closer that we get to it. You know, but there are some things that have not happened yet. There's not wide-scale, universal, worldwide persecution and martyrdom in every nation of the church. But Jesus said it's coming. There's also not worldwide, everybody in the whole world has heard the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. Those things, though, are both going to come because God is not a liar. And Jesus wants us to be aware and ready, and I believe to be excited because, again, there's a birth coming, a rebirth, if you will, coming. Jesus is coming back. Next week, we're going to be talking about the abomination that causes desolation. Doesn't that sound ominous?
The abomination that causes desolation. I'm going to preach the whole message this way. Next week.
We're also going to be talking then, of course, about the Antichrist. We're going to talk about global persecution. Some might call it tribulation. We're going to talk about those things. Why? I mean, we're going to talk about Jesus talks about them, so that's why we're going to be talking about those things. And we're also going to continue to look at where are we and what are we doing and how should we be thinking and processing all of these things that Jesus is saying will occur before he returns and before the end of the age. And again, my prayer is that that we take in what Jesus is saying here, that we keep our focus on Him through this whole process. If this has shaken up some things, as my whole end times, you know, theology was shaken up years ago and continues to be shaken and molded as I press into the Lord and to His Word and just be a Christian longer and longer, that we just let God continue to mold us and have His way with us. Can we do that? Can we do that? Amen.